But let's talk a little bit more about data. Some data, for example, for us that's becoming increasingly important is, will the office industry actually even survive a post-COVID world? So many of us are working from home. We saw, and one of the big trends that we saw in the property industry, or certainly in the office space sector, before COVID necessarily exploded around the world, was the notion of shared office space. A number of units coming up in the Western Cape, and a number I'd be very keen to talk to, actually. You've got your bureau, you've got, Cube and the like. I'm going to speak now to Rob Kane, the chairman of the CCID and CEO of Boxwood Property Fund, about what the trends in office space are telling us about the likelihood of success within this particular industry.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilwe Maloto on Breakfast.
Rob, welcome back to Breakfast. How are you doing?
Morning, Rufi. Very, very well. And yourself?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Rob, help us get a little bit of an understanding of what occupancy rates are looking like at this particular time.
Okay. Rufi, we've seen quite a transition, and I think we're in the middle of that transition now. You know, I think when people got locked down and they resigned themselves to the fact that this is the way it is, many people just got on with it and have made it work. But we're seeing two things. One is we're seeing with corporates, they're realizing that they're actually not really getting that productivity out of the staff that they would like. And there is an issue of particularly training and mentoring. You know, if you have young people in your office, how do you work with them?
Right.
You know, if you're employing somebody new, Refilwe, and the person doesn't come into the office, how do you ever transfer your culture and your values and method statements to the new people coming in? So I think probably for older people, and I guess I'd be in that category pretty firmly, working from home is okay. And to be honest, you could probably work on the far side of the moon and you'd still be all right, because right, you have a lot of experience and a lot of base knowledge. But where it's really falling down is kind of a couple of levels down, where people need other people in the office to interact off and to figure out what's going on. And there's so many, they always talk about these water cooler conversations, but yes, so much can be handled by that. You know, if you don't quite know what's going on, you can sidle up to your boss at the water cooler and have a quiet conversation, and you can get some steerage. Whereas if you're working from home, you've got a Zoom call. You've got to say to your boss, I want to phone you at 10 o'clock and I want to talk about this.
Right.
And you have a formal meeting. There's so many knock-on effects and almost intangibles that we are finding, and us and other corporates are finding that we're actually missing out on.
Absolutely.
With our staff. So all that sort of emotional, I don't know what the word is, pent-up goodwill is eroding fast now.
And social nuances. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a social construct, the office.
Mm.
But Rob, it's difficult for me to understand now, because there are some conflicting data points for us.
Mm.
On the one hand, you know, we've just had a conversation in Moolah Monday about how the top five tech stocks are the ones that are boosting, you know, that have performed the best in the world.
Mm.
And how representative that is of a changing world that is moving far more digitally. Amazon being one of them, for example, has recently been recruiting in South Africa from a distance. There's the ease of, and recruiting in South Africa for people to work from home. They found systems to maintain that discipline. Do they get the warm and fuzzy warmer water cooler? No. But do they get the productivity? Yes. And maybe that's the way companies are going. Or is it sector specific?
Okay. Ken, I agree with you that the technology is a game changer and that it will change the office market. And frankly, I think for the better. And it will mean a reduction in the amount of space that people use. But can I give you an example going back quite a few years? I used to work for a construction company.
Mm.
And they had the brainwave of thinking, well, what we can do with all our carpenters and bricklayers and so on, we can outsource them, and effectively they'll work for themselves, and we will just contract them in when we want to, which sounds great, and it sounds really efficient. But the net result is the whole trade skill in the construction industry just got decimated. If you're a bricklayer now, or 30 years ago, if you're a bricklayer, you would go and join one of the big construction companies and you would go through an apprenticeship. That's dead now. It doesn't exist. If you want to be a bricklayer now, you need a trowel and a hammer and a spirit level and kind of you're on your way. So the productivity in the construction industry has dropped dramatically. And I know the number of bricks one expects a bricklayer to lay now is a fraction of what it used to be years ago. So I think we have to be quite careful in thinking that we can have all our staff work from home and we're going to be okay.
Right.
I think there's going to be a decimation of quality and professionalism and also team spirit.
Sure.
That's a big thing. I mean, I know quite a few corporates, and we've done as a CID and obviously as myself because we own property in the city, done quite a few bit of phoning around, and there's a lot of corporates who are now offering their staff counselling because of the social issues with staying at home and because of their loneliness. Look, so, Rufiwe, how can that be healthy?
No, for sure. I read somewhere this weekend, somebody said, we're not working from home, we live at work. Which is not a good way to do things. There's some things like radio. I have to still come into the studio, although there are ways around that. But I think I think you make a good point. So as projections go for property office space, for example, do you have a sense of percentage, increases or decreases that you think that you
might see? Yeah, we're already seeing it in the city. We can see that. People come into the city, the numbers are increasing. We don't have hard numbers now. We will have them fairly shortly. But I think in a month or two, we're going to find ourselves with a lot more people in the city. Because I spoke about the corporates and the concerns that they have. The other side of it is actually the individuals. And what we're finding is the office workers are now wanting to come back. You know, they miss going for a coffee with their mates first thing or at lunchtime. They miss the interaction of the office. Things like First Thursdays. I know they were trying to get First Thursdays going this coming Thursday, and I think it needs a huge support from all of us if it does, and we'll advertise that shortly. But those are the things that people want to come back for. And as the CID and the city and also province, we've met in the last few weeks and we've had a strategy session as to how to make it more fun to be back in the office. And we're talking about some street theatre, more graffiti or art murals on the walls, a lot more activity, more markets. We're chatting to Open Streets, who are very amenable to maybe running it once a week on a Sunday. Just imagine that. You know, all these people are going nuts with their children at home. We'll now be able to get them into Bree Street so they can burn off a bit of energy. So there's just so much going on. And I think, you know, we are seeing people coming back and suddenly realizing, hey, it's actually quite fun to be in the city, you know?
Rob Kane, Chairman of the CCID and CEO of Boxwood Property Fund there with some firm perspectives on the return of office layouts, I suppose, and the office trade within the property sector.